You have entered the Ale Twilight Zone. It's ale about beer, man. And sometimes meads and ciders. Welcome to the Christmas Eve show. Moonbeam and I just returned from family festivities. She's comfortably in a bubble bath, and I thought I would dig out some old microphones and give them a try out, do a Christmas Eve show. But when we returned home, I opened the ice box and hold on just a second. Hold on. Found in the ice box and discovered that Moonbeam was most excellent this Christmas. I found in the ice box a brand spanking new 4-pack of Dogfish Head 90 Minute Imperial IPA, one of my most favorite beers, and she knows that. It's readily available in our specs here in Houston, Clear Lake area. I mean, just about any specs around here carries a wide variety of Dogfish Head, as well as other of my very favorite beers, our very own Houston St. Arnold Brewing Company. One of my favorite beers by them is their Alyssa IPA. But nonetheless, I thought I'd dig out some old microphones and try and throw down a Christmas Eve show, because there's some things I wanted to discuss about yesterday. Yesterday was quite a learning experience for me. It was fraught with disasters and accomplishments. But anyway, last show, I did a little skit. It was Jamel Zainichev. Jamel Zainichev. By the way, them four IPAs are gone. It's been about an hour now. Jamel Zainichev. But anyway, I did a little phone skit with Jamel Zainichev, and it was all in jest. I'm sure everybody knows that. And if Jamel ever heard the show, he would know that was all in jest. But I wanted to make sure that everybody knew that I feel Jamel Zainichev, one of my brewing idol heroes. I've gone to Mr. Malty many times and used his yeast pitching rate calculators. If there was a Jamel, if there was a Jamel Zainichev t-shirt, I would be first in line to own one. But nonetheless, I wanted to make sure everybody knew that was in jest. So I'm going to get some wiring together in the studio here and get some things ready for the show, my very first Christmas Eve show. And I would like to throw down this next track and dedicate it to Mr. Jamel Zainichev from Lonnie Mack.
It's been so long, I really need to see you, baby. So long. When I called you up and talked to you yesterday, baby, you really rocked me. Oh, you rocked me. I made my promise to you, darling, and I'm gonna do what needs be done. You've made me understand, baby, that hearts ain't made from stone. The thing in the morning, I wake up, can't go back to sleep.
Well, that was Christmas Eve. I decided to go ahead and sleep that one off. So when I got everything hooked up, all the mics and everything, give it another go. It's heck, what day is it? I'm not quite sure. I think I slept until now. It's the 26th now. But anyway, nonetheless, regarding that last beginning segment, I decided to go ahead and leave in the show. If you're ever at a loss for words, need something to say from the heart, just throw on some Robert Cray, and you're good to go. But anyway, welcome to what is now going to be known as, I believe, the Cask Show. And when I say cask, let's be certain I'm talking about cask, the wooden vessel, not a firkin, which is now pretty much a plastic vessel, and not a keg, which we know as a corny keg, 5-gallon corny kegs. We're talking about wooden cask, which I'm a proud owner of a beer and more beer, B3, 7.9-gallon, 30-liter French oak cask. It was quite expensive. And I spent all last week swelling that cask, and I'm pretty sure that's the proper word, is swelling. I want to say swolled. I swolled that cask, but I swelled it. I'm not sure. I'd have to consult a cooper or a cooperage firm to confirm that the proper vocabulary to use there, but I'm going to call it swell. I swelled that cask. Pretty much all last week, per the beer and more beer instructions, it states to fill the cask, a new cask, and this would apply to any new cask, French oak, American oak, or any new cask, or a cask that's sat around for a while and dried out. But the instructions say to fill it with 1/3 of water and let it sit for 2 or 3 hours, and I did that. Then another 1/3 of water for 2 or 3 more hours. Then you would top it off to the bung hole. And incidentally, on this show and this show only, we can say the word bung hole. I was apprehensive at first about stating that, but I think it truly is called a bung hole. And most cask comes with a bung hole on the side. And if you roll the cask a little bit, the bung hole's on top. And that's how mine came in the mail from Beer and More Beer, with about 1.5 inches diameter bung hole on the top of this French oak cask. And it comes with a wooden stopper. And I'm assuming, without much investigation, that this wooden stopper could probably be referred to as a bung. And the bung goes in the bung hole. But nonetheless, I spent all week swelling this cask. I let it fill up with water per the instructions. And also, again, the instructions state that you shouldn't leave any cask full of water, just plain water. And they didn't give an alternative, but just plain water for more than 2 days at a time. I assume it can develop some kind of bacteria or algae or something in a cask. And believe me, at these prices of these casks, especially the French oak cask, you certainly want to take care of them as best you can. So I changed the water every 2 days over the last week. So my intentions are to put an 8-gallon mead I made 5 months ago into this cask. And that's been kind of my intentions all along, to start it out with this mead that I had made. So I go grab the mead. Cask is ready to go. I've got the mead, 8 gallons of mead, split up into 2 5-gallon carboys. That's where the start of this story starts, actually. 3 months ago, I transferred these 2 meads along with another cider, 1 cider. So I transferred 3 products that day. Used the same racking cane, sterilized 3 new carboys. Took these 2 meads off of the primaries and this cider off of its primary. Put them into secondary carboys. Used the same racking cane. And lo and behold, a few months ago I noticed that all 3 of these products have a slight, I don't know what it is, I'm not good on infections. I do have experience with beer infections in a distant past. I don't know what these are. It's a very slight, slimy-looking film on top of the both meads in their carboys, as well as the cider in its carboy. So there they sit. They taste phenomenal. I tasted them all with my thief, and there again I shared the thief between the 3 products, too. It could have been the thief in the process that may have spread this little disease, or whatever you want to call it. But nonetheless, they all three, the two meads and the cider, taste phenomenal. They really do. So here I am in a predicament. I want to put these 8 gallons of mead into this 7.9-gallon cask. And I certainly do not want to put anything remotely, slightly infected into this cask. This mead, again, was pretty expensive stuff, too. I mean, honey is not cheap today, especially when you get it from Miller's. And not that Miller's is expensive, but down here in Texas, you know, I have to have that stuff delivered. And it's not cheap to deliver, you know, all that honey that I use for this mead through the mail. But, man, the Miller's honey is the best, I really think. Can't wait to do another mead. But back to the story, that this mead, I'm certain, has some kind of infection in it. So what's Mac do? You know, without regard, I take 8 gallons of mead, you know, out of these two carboys, and I put them right back on Brutus. 2 5-month-old Miller's honey mead. And my intentions were to pasteurize it. I know very little, if anything at all, about pasteurizing it, other than a little studying of Louis Pasteur, who invented that process. But all I wanted to know is I wanted to stop this disease that's overtaken this delicious, at this point, I should add, mead. And thus is exactly what I did. And the main reason being is I wanted to stop it in its process at this time. Infection or no infection, the mead still tastes great for a 5-month-old mead. And I'm no meadeur, and I don't know if that's even a word. I'm no connoisseur of meads. I've never made a mead, this being my first mead. It's all trial and error to me, other than when a little instruction from Mr. John Jerkinson I mentioned in the last show, Mr. Cider Maker of the Year. Excellent. Also, Mead Maker. One day will be of the year, I'm sure. Excellent meads. But other than his advice, I made this mead. But I wanted to put this mead in a cask, so I said, you know what, I'm not going to do it while it's sick or has an infection. So I put the mead on Brutus, gently brought it to 170 degrees. And there it sat for an hour at 170 degrees. I maintained it. Well, I didn't bruise. Brutus maintained it at 170 degrees. I sat back and watched and waited. And I did turn the switch off. I do have to do that manually. You know, the switch that controls the gas valve, it's a toggle switch. Yeah, after an hour, and I was going to let it cool naturally. And I did. It took all day. Even as cold as it was here in southern Texas a couple days ago, it was like 52 degrees, and I was freezing my butt off in that garage. But I let it cool naturally, and it took most all day. But then I put this 8 gallons of mead into the 7.9-gallon cask, and with full confidence that whatever was in it is at least dead. And there again, being my first mead, and it's all experimental anyway, I'm willing to accept the consequences of ruining all this expensive honey. But afterwards, you know, after it cooled down, it actually tasted just as good as it did before I started. So there I was. I put this 8 gallons of mead, and I drained it into that very slowly into that cask. And I think I got a great deal from B3. Let's put it that way, on this 7.9-gallon, 30-liter cask. Because after I was done putting this 8 gallons of mead into this 7.9-gallon cask, I needed another gallon of mead.
I can only smoke in the garage. Or outside. It's still legal in America to smoke outside. That right is dwindling rapidly, but you can still smoke outside in America, as far as I know, in most places, remote locations such as your home.
I'm gonna do it.
probably thought I had to go pee. I had to do that too, but anyway, back to the little story. I'll try and wrap it up real quick and get on the other things. I was sitting on the gold swanky couch, and without regard, without any advice, with no phone calls, I took it upon myself to take one of my English ciders that Moonbeam and I made about 5 months ago, about the same age as the mead, sitting back in the back of the house, just pristine, a beautiful cider. Not the one I recall to earlier in the segment, the other semi, I say, infected cider. But I took a little bit of that English cider, a gallon of that English cider, and I topped that cask off. Now, I'm certain I had 8 gallons of mead, and it just bewilders me what happened. My graduated stick told me so. But nonetheless, these casks are sometimes not mismarked, but they're estimates. And, you know, I did sample that cider with that thief and them meads all together throughout the whole 5 months. So who knows? I still think my graduated stick is correct. But nonetheless, I topped that cask off with that cider, and I'm certain I didn't make a sizer. I don't know what I made exactly. I'm sure we'll taste the English cider in the finished mead here in several more months, as long as I can let it sit. But nonetheless, I'll drink it, and it's probably going to be pretty darn good. They were both excellent at the time I put it in the cask. So right now, it's sitting in a corner of pub fun, and it's just a piece of furniture now, and I'll let it sit there. Hopefully as long as I can get away with it. So anyway, back to other news, and this will still remain about cask, as this particular show, and probably this only show, be about cask. But anyway, I think oak has been imparted in beers throughout history. As we all know, beer goes back a long way. I think the oldest known recipe is dated back 2050 B.C., inscribed on a little bitty piece of stone tablet. And for you Homer Simpson fans out there, such as myself, that's over 2,000 years before Jeebus. That's a long time. And certainly throughout history, in the beginning, I'm sure they used clay pots. There's historical reference throughout history that suggests they used clay pots, and that would probably be obvious. Shortly after that, though, at some point, some guy or gal, it may have been a gal, you know, women were prominent brewers back in the early days. Somewhere along the line, somebody discovered wood. I think it started with palm wood to store beverages in, and certainly beer too. But throughout history, I'm sure somewhere along the line, some guy or gal, you know, made a pale ale or a cream ale, albeit by accident. By today's standards, anyway, you know, a porter, stout, brown, mild, you name it, and put it on oak, and it was probably fabulous. I could imagine, because I've done the same thing. I've put many, many beers on oak or imparted oak into the carboy, which is a very popular and easy method, and I'm sure these beers were great. You know, a quick search of the BJCP guidelines published by the AHA, would reveal 31 instances of oak, a lot being inappropriate use of oak. You know, this particular style, oak is inappropriate in this style, such as IPAs, and that's a biggie, heavy hitter of mine. I love an oaked IPA personally, but we have to say to ourselves, you know, do we want to compete? The guidelines are centered around competition, particular beer styles, governed by 20 years of AHA history. Throughout 10,000 years of beer, I would suggest that you just do what the heck you want to do. Now, certainly these beers probably wouldn't pass the muster if you put them on a competition table. And they pass the lips of a judge. He may point out that, hey, this IPA shouldn't have any oak. And that's okay, too. And I do not want to sit here and pretend like I'm coming down on the AHA, because I hope I'm not. I'm an avid AHA member. I've even got an AHA shirt, and I love to compete, and I will remain a member of the AHA, but there's a difference. If you want to compete, you have to compete. You have to brew to the style guidelines, because we have some great judges around America today, and they'll nail you. man. If you do something wrong, one little flaw, a lot of these judges that get you pretty good, you know, they'll pick it out. And but I like to oak a lot of beers. Moonbeam and I make a lot of beers. We'll impart oak in. Use usually French oak cubes or French oak chips or something of the sort. American oak's pretty strong. Use it liberally. Pretty good stuff, but it's pretty strong. And they do have their different flavors. Not that I could probably tell the difference with my horse smoke-ridden tongue, but I've been told. So, but with that, I'm gonna wrap this little bitty segment up here with another tune, and I think we'll get back and wrap up the show about cask, not cask ales, really. I should not have alluded to that previously. It's just about cask. What it is about Max Cask and the dilemmas that I had with that cask this week. So, I'll be right back.
I don't need no Greyhound, no passenger train, no kind of transportation could ever take away my pain. I won't be running, but I know I've got to go. I've been leaving this world, baby, and that's all I need to know. I won't take no money, nothing I can't use. Just take the clothes I'm wearing, but I'm leaving all these blues. No, I won't be running, but I know I've got to go. I'll be leaving this world, baby, and that's all I need to know. Keep on rolling steady, I won't be messing around. I'm gonna be sure that I'm ready if I reach that higher ground. I won't be running, but I know I've got to go. I'll be leaving this world, baby, and that's all I need to know.
Well, that was it for the cask show. At least the dilemma of the last week was, I think, in the end, is really going to be worth the wait, worth the effort, worth the time. But we'll all. See, I'll get back online here and do a show, tasting with a prominent mead specialist or something. Get a couple of good buddies over here. That Mr. Ed Moore from the Foam Rangers is a phenomenal mead head. You know, I don't know the name. I don't know what you would call somebody like that. I'm really at a loss. But him, Mr. John Jurgensen, there are several good guys I would love to come over here and have a little radio show with and talk about mead. Although this is an ale show, I should be clear. But we should all open up sometimes, and meads and ciders are so easy to make. It's really unbelievably easy to make. And it's a fun break to just sit back and hang around and heat up a little honey or make a cider or something. It's very easy to do. So it's fun to just do that every now and then, have one sitting back somewhere waiting to drink, when you just want to take a break from beer. But where's this show going? Well, I hope to get interviews if I ever get this goofy little MP3 player I have on order. It's still on back order. It's the one I want, and by golly, it's the one I'm going to get. But I'm having a hard time getting the goofy thing. But when I get that, I'm going to get out and do some interviews with a few prominent people, hopefully. Go do some riding around town and interviewing some people that I've been wanting to pick their brains about things, and I think you would enjoy hearing what these people have to say. Around the forum news, I frequent Johnny Max's forum on his brewcrazy.com forum. There's a lot of activity today going on in that forum, and I would suggest everybody dive on in and voice your opinions. And I think you have a lot of good reading to do there. And then I think quite certain you're going to have something to say. So, but nonetheless, on, I don't know, a couple shows ago, Johnny did, he alluded that I, Elcaster Mac, and by the way, Elcaster is a trademark name. I'm just kidding, man. Who gives a rat's ass? But he alluded on a couple shows ago that I may break out and sing into the microphone. So, I thought I would do just that to end this whole show. And this is for Johnny Max. It's one of my old recorded versions. But these are words of wisdom. And we should pass this along to all our friends in the forum. And it's just words to heed every now and then. And just sit back and think. So with that, that's the end of this show. Brew on, brothers.
Come true.